Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is November the 9th, 2024, or it is Sister 28. We're going to start our first service today on this Saturday, and then we'll go into our service. I'll continue where we left off from our last service. We're in track number 9, Viti Hala, and it's number, Behold, I Make All Things New. We're on part 3, on page 71. And by doing just a little review, it says a summary of the first and second periods. This is the end of our last study. We're going to do this for the beginning of our study number 3 today on page 67 of the track number 9, Behold, I Make All Things New. We're in the subtitle, A Summary of the First and Second Periods. Number 1, when the time of the terrors, the children of the wicked ones, that's, we're still co-mingled with the terrors here in the kingdom of David, believe it or not. But when David became converted and had to pay his price for the great sins that he committed after he became king of Israel, and then once David became fully converted and repentant and was forgiven all of his sins, that began his reign. A truthful, peaceful reign for 40 years, even though he was spent that 40 years in warfare with his enemy. Literal warfare of killing people. So David killed people after he became the king of Israel, the anointed king of Israel. And after he got rid of his personal sins, and then he went out on leading his army, and he killed a lot of people himself during that 40 years. But David made a covenant with Yahshua, the son, and Yahweh the father, that he would build him a house. He wanted to build him a house on earth. And so Yahweh the father told David, he said, because it's in your heart to build me a house, I'm going to build you a house here on earth. And I'm going to let you build it. But not you, but your son that proceeds out of your loins, Solomon. He's going to build it. He's going to build you a house. He's going to build your house. He's going to build the whole city of Jerusalem. And when Solomon started, 46 years later, the city and everything was finished. It took 46 years to build all of that that David had proposed to build Yahweh the Father here on earth. It turned out to be the whole city of Jerusalem, everything, just like it is in heaven, of all things. And it took 46 years to do it. Well, he's told me that as an antitypical David today that I am through V.T. Hallock. I just read it just recently in his sermon. The preacher from V.T. Hallock, he says that as an antitypical David is to build an antitypical house here, like it was in the top. So we have our commission. So this summary of the second fruits, of the first and second fruit. Number 1, when the time of the terrors, with the children of the wicked one, Matthew 13:38, is come to its full. Well, then will commence the harvest. So, that timetable made its timetable in Charlotte, Texas with Rodus Johnson as the third feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist. That Rodus Johnson was the angel of the candlestick of Laodicea there had Kermit, he was closing out the sixth hour of the judgment of the dead for the Seventh-day Adventists that started in 1844. And so, that was the time for the fulfillment of the terrors to be separated then from the house of Yahweh. But you had to have somebody that would perfect the creation calendar and reestablish the ordained system of true worship in order to cause the terrors to come to their fulfillment in the kingdom. So that's where we're at today. Today, November the 9th, will be a very historical day in prophetic history of 2024. And it says that the terrors have come to their full, for the children of the wicked one. In other words, the terrors, they've come to their full in the 12th parabolic hour. Brother Johnson closed out the 11th parabolic hour. He had the 11th parabolic hour from 1970 to 2003, and he closed out the 11th parabolic hour. And I was given the commission to open up the 12th parabolic hour. And I was named as the leader of the fifth group of laborers of Matthew 20, verse 6. Okay. When the time of the terrors with the children of the wicked one, Matthew 13:38. So this wicked one is not just a lot of people. The terrors, they're plural, they're all wicked. But the wicked one is a leader. I just saw that. It's a singular term, wicked one. So when the terrors, the children of the wicked one, and who is the wicked one? It's the man of sin that has been pointed as the angel of the seventh candlestick at Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center. Brother Johnson wrote a track on who is the wicked one. And he called the Pope the wicked one. And all the time, Brother Johnson was the wicked one himself. And he was writing that track about himself and didn't even know it. He always showed it to me. He didn't show it to Rose. So Brother Johnson closed out the Adventist Church at the end of the 11th parabolic hour in Kermit, Texas, 2002, as a wicked one that had apostatized, because he apostatized from performing his vows, hold you to keep thy solemn peace, perform thy vows, so the wicked shall no longer pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Brother Johnson had stopped performing his vows as the head of the tribe of Judah. So when he stopped performing his vows and suspended the daily, then that meant that he was truly antitypical Esau, the king of Edom, which is another name today for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is Edom, Mount Edom. And that's pointed out in Obadiah, chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Obadiah, and that's pointed out in that chapter. Okay, it says, is come to its full. Then will commence the harvest, and it will bring the end of this world. So the harvest is in the 12th parabolic hour. The 12th parabolic hour is the last hour on the parabolic time clock, and that's the hour we're in now. And it's called the end of the parabolic time clock. And it's called also the end of the world. And it's also called the seventh seal that is opened up in the 12th parabolic hour in the harvest time. and the judgment of the living that we're in now since 2002. So, Brother Yahweh used Brother Johnson to close out the fourth covenant, the fourth movement with the Adventists from 1844 to 2003, and he used me to open up the new covenant with the house of David and start the judgment of the living and the harvest and show that we're in the 12th parabolic hour and not the 11th anymore. As B.T. Hall taught that the shepherd rod was in the 11th parabolic hour. No, the branch Davidians with Brother Jeff Johnson with the third feeding pastor was in the 11th parabolic hour. B.T. Hall and the shepherd rod was in the 10th parabolic hour from 1930 to 1970, a 40-year period for the rod. Okay. So now that we're caught up to where we're at in the stream of time, let us continue reading. So it says, when the time of the terror with the children of the wicked one, and that was identified as Kermit, Texas, 2002, when this took place and met its fulfillment, Matthew 13:38, has come to its full. So the Adventist movement from 1844 to 2002 came to its full in Kermit, Texas. Then we'll commence the harvest, and it will bring the end of the 12th parabolic hour, probation closing, and the literal end of this world. Matthew 13:30 and 40, taking place in the end of the world. So notice it says taking place in the end of the world, not at the beginning of the end of the world, but at the literal end of the world, like it was down in Egypt when the plague fell on Pharaoh in Egypt. It killed all the firstborn and delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. The 10th plague. So that's where we're at today. Looking forward to the outpouring of the 10th plague that fell down in Egypt in the top. It perforces is the gathering of the people by the Elijah's message. So since Yahweh gave me as the antitypical Elijah David's name, 2002 at Kermit, Texas, he also gave me the message that of the antitypical Elijah, Malachi 4:5. The last heaven-sent proclamation of the gospel, or the proclamation meaning the teaching of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the new and living way of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, which is preached first to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And essentially, that's what I gave Brother Jeff Johnson as his last message from heaven, was this here, restoring of the daily in our time, not after we get into the kingdom, as he called it in Israel. And so Brother John said, well, no, we don't do it now. I said, well, you have already done it twice since 1970, and you suspended. So, yeah, you're going to do it at your convenience. It wasn't convenient for you when you restored the daily in 1970. It wasn't convenient for you and your family, and that's the reason why you rescinded it. And then you had a reason to restore it in 1983, and then after the thing was over, your wife came to you again and says, we're going to have to rescind this daily again. Because we've got a family and a son that has a business. And he can't work men and have them to take off the daily while they're working. So the brother said, okay, we'll suspend the daily again. And we're just We're going to keep the data after we get into the kingdom in Israel. So that's when it'll be convenient. So I told Brother Johnson the message from heaven, 2002. I said, Yahweh says you're to restore that data right today. And he said, oh no. I said, well, if you don't do it, I'll do it. So in my mind, I reestablished the daily and told him that it was not to be suspended, whether he kept it or not, or whether I restored it or not. It was still, that daily came every day, and it was charged to the Gilead Center if she didn't keep it. As being violators of the law of Moses. So this is where we're at today, reestablishing the daily again, permanently, in the everlasting kingdom of heaven. And never to be rescinded again by anybody. Taking place in the end of the world, it says that. So it says, this song will read this whole paragraph all over again. When the time of the terrors, and that came in 2002 in Kermit, Texas, starting at the Passover, with Brother Johnson at the helm, the children of the wicked one, and Brother Johnson turned out to be that apostatized wicked one, Matthew 13:38, is come to its full. Then will commence the harvest, and that harvest means that that is targeting the 144,000 as the first fruits harvest. Then begin the harvest, and it will bring the end of this world, Matthew 13:30-40, taking place, and the end of the 12th parabolic hour, close of probation, which is called the end of the end of the world. It perforce is the gathering of the people. And actually, that word perforce, I've never seen that before. I think it's supposed to be the word purpose. I think that word is supposed to be purpose. And I think it's a misspelled word. Its purpose is for the gathering of the people by the Elijah's message. As the last heaven-sent proclamation of the teaching of the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of the new and living way of the Yahshua, a hair in the 12th parabolic hour, which is called the gospel of the kingdom, Hebrews 10, which is preached first unto the Seventh-day Adventist church just before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, before he appears in person now, here in the 12th parabolic hour, and we're still waiting for that time to be shown us in the future when Yahshua is appearing in person. Malachi 4:5. And then unto all the world during that long expected day. So, the whole world now is waiting. The prophet and typical David, he is waiting for Yahshua to appear in person, to sit upon the throne of David, Luke 1:32, and prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8, to fulfill that prophecy, Yahshua has to come in person here in the 12th parabolic hour, and sit upon the throne of David, and that's the throne that I am occupying right now. So it's going to be a dual capacity throne, and it's going to be called the place where the ensign is, where you have the son Yahshua and his underservant, antitypical David. That is what constitutes the ensign that all the Gentiles seek to here in these last days. They seek to this ensign, which is made up of Yahshua the Son and his underservant Elijah David, in a purified state. For the message find the net full upon its arrival and subsequently causing a division between those who accept it. And that's what happened at Kermit. When that message came from heaven on July 14, 2002, it came to me to give to Grotus and his wife. If they accepted it, it would have united us forever. But they rejected it, and so that's what separated us down at Kermit. Them rejecting that message that I gave them from heaven. Between those who accept it and those who reject it, it enables the angels to select the bad from among the good. Matthew 13:48. These are good are the first fruits of the redeemed. Then follows the separation implicit in the call to come out of her, Babylon, my people, Revelation 18:1-4. That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plague, Revelation 18:4. These called out ones are the second fruits of the Gentiles, Revelation 7:9. In the first instance, the bad are cast out from among the good that are caught in the net, parentheses, in the message reposing in the Adventist church. Whereas in the second instance, only Yahweh's faithful are called out from among the sinners in Babylon, the Gentile world. There have been no terrors among them after the saints are called out, because the terrors are all going to be destroyed. For the tares and the wheat were commingled in the former instance, because while men slept, says the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, the enemy came and sowed the tares among the wheat, whereas the wheat is kept free from the tares in the latter instance, because, says the Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Isaiah 62:6. Let us continue now. We're on page 68, the last paragraph of tract 9. Where it says, Babylon's dominion, being symbolized by the scarlet-colored beast, the beast upon which sits the woman, Revelation 17, the symbolization is, therefore, representative of an international religious political system. The religious aspect is symbolized by the woman, the civil aspect by the horns of the beast, and the combination, a symbolical prediction of a worldwide system of the church and state union. For the beast alone, exclusive of the horns, represents, as do the beast of Daniel 7, the world's multitudes. The subjects of the antitypical Babylon, from among whom the Yahweh's people are called. This gathering constitutes the separation of the second fruits. From this The truth is again seen that the first and the second fruits of the living, the one gathered from within the church at the commencement of the great and dreadful day, and the other gathered out of the Babylon during that day, constitute the kingdom at its beginning and before the resurrection of the dead. Well, we have the prophetic evidence today that this kingdom has the was talking about then had its beginning in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, with the everlasting kingdom of heaven of Daniel 2:44-45, which is called the kingdom of David here on earth in the 12th parabolic hour. Okay. For the facts, moreover, that only the good from the net were kept, and that only Yahweh's people were called out of the Babylon, hail the kingdom as the home of the righteous only. Well, we still are not living in a world where there is a kingdom that has projected out there itself as being having only the righteous people in it only. That's what Yahweh is bringing forth right now, is this righteous kingdom that is to be made up of only the righteous people once it's set up with the buildings and visible. Like David, he wanted to build Yahweh a kingdom. He wanted to build him a house. He wanted to build his son a house. He wanted to do all that. He wanted to build, but Yahweh says, you can't do that. You're a man of war. You got blood on your hands. But your son that proceeds out of your loins, Solomon, he will build you a house and fulfill the covenant that I made with you, that I would build you a house. I'm going to do that through your son Solomon. So this is where we're at today, approaching the antithetical period of Solomon when this little kingdom has to be built here on earth to fulfill the type. So it says, it goes on to say that, for the facts moreover, that only the good from the net were kept, and that only Yahweh's people were called out of the Babylon, hail the kingdom as the home of the righteous only. That this shall be the covenant, declares Yahweh, concerning this glorious truth of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven of Daniel 2:44-45, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Okay. Yahweh, I'm using the Father's name here. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know thee. Actually, this is Yahshua talking. It's really not the Father, it's Yahshua the Son. That they're going to all know the Yahshua, the King of Israel that has returned in these last days. For they shall all know me, from the least of them, unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua, son of Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember this sin no more. Jeremiah 31:33-34. And they shall call them, acclaimed Isaiah, as the holy people, as the redeemed of the Yeshua by his blood. And that's in Revelation 5, 9 to 11. Isaiah 62:12, and an highway shall be there. He assures in a way, and it shall be called the way of the holiness, for the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those of the wayfaring men, though fools, will not err therein. Isaiah 35:8. Number two, when this gospel or parenthesis plan of the salvation of the brother of the everlasting covenant of the new and living way of the Hebrews 10:19-20 of the kingdom of the Yeshua shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all the nations, Matthew 24:14. The work of the gospel or the plan of salvation of the everlasting covenant shall end, and probation shall close for every human being. Number three, when both the Jew and the Gentile who have responded unto the call have been gathered from the four corners of the earth, then will the harvest end, then will the last lingering moment of the probationary time have fled away forever. Then will the end have come, and from the great white throne will have gone forth the immutable fiat. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:11. Learning to their terror with the passing of the probation that they are forever lost, the neglectful will cry out bitterly, for the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Behold, I come quickly, declares the Yahshua. Following his solemn pronouncement of the close of the probation, Revelation 22:11, and my reward is with me to give every man according unto as his work shall be, Revelation 22:12. Here is ample evidence that probation closes before the Yeshua's visible return. At the close of the seventh plague, the Yeshua himself visibly, or to the every eye of Revelation 1:7, shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in Yeshua shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Yeshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yeshua. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Okay. With the righteous dead of all ages being resurrected, and joined with the living saints, the kingdom is completely made up of the righteous having been set on his right, the kingdom, Matthew 25:31-34, and the wicked on his left, Babylon, same verses, Then while the king sends those on his left into the everlasting punishment, he says unto those on his right, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, Matthew 25:46-34. Following this is realized the long awaited fruition of the glorious hope engendered of the Yahshua's promise, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:2-3. For the stern hope of every antitypical apostolic believer in the everlasting covenant of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10, is beautifully foreshadowed in the translation of the Enoch, Genesis 5:24. The translation of the Elijah, 2 Kings 2:11, and the resurrection of the multitude and the Yahshua led on high, Matthew 27:52-53, Ephesians 4:8. A threefold typification and the triple accord with Yahweh's law of the type, that where there is type, there must also be an anti-type. There it is, right there. Whether or not assuredly in the connection to be an anti-type, a session of all of the same, then there would not have been a type translation of Enoch and Elijah, and ascension of the multitude. The type would have been arbitrary, purposeless, and misleading. Not only the saints, therefore, but also the heavens shall depart, the wicked shall cry to the mountains to fall upon them. That's enough subtitle for this part of number 3. For the heavens shall depart, for the wicked shall cry unto the mountains to fall upon them. For the close of the seventh plague will come the fullness of the end of which explains the Revelator, the heaven, the atmosphere of our earth, Genesis 1:8. First says, with the close of the seventh plague will come the fullness of the end of which explains the Revelator, the heaven, the atmosphere of our earth, Genesis 1:8. Okay. It says, departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places, for the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, saying unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6, 14 and 17. For the fact that all these events close with the second coming of the Yahshua. Let's read that again. We're going to have to maybe deal with the changing of a word or two here. From the past to the future, or from the future back to the past, for the fact that all of these events close with the second coming of the Yahshua. No, all of these events close after Yahshua comes here and takes the reins in his own hands and start closing these events himself in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. Also the fact that the prophecies plainly declare that the Yahshua will gather all his people, the Son of Yahweh, from among all the nations and call forth of his own from their graves, catch up all the redeemed, both the living and the resurrection, to meet him in the air and to go with him to the mountains which he has been preparing for them ever since his ascension. Destroy all the wicked, leave the earth empty without life or light, then make it void and without form, and finally let not the dead live again until the 1,000 years are finished. All these facts make manifest that the earth is to be in a state of the chaos while the saints live and reign with the Yahshua and the kingdom of the heaven here on this earth in the 12th parabolic hour, and then bringing the code of probation to this world, and then reign with Yahshua, continuing on in the next, during the 1,000 years of the millennium. In this way, Satan is bound by a chain of the circumstances, which makes impossible his deceiving of the nations until the 1,000 years are finished, and until the Yahshua again returns with the saints, calls forth the wicked dead from their graves and allows them to live for a short season, a season in which the Satan again deceives them. The heaven shall depart, the wicked shall cry to the mountains to fall upon them. Okay. As we continue with our study of track number 9, with the close of the 7th plague. Now this is what actually, we're down at the page 74 of Satan again deceives them. Okay. This is looking forward unto the resurrection after the millennium. The Revelator saw that the wicked went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from the Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. This is the second death. Revelation 20 verse 9, 10 and 14. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom of under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Daniel 7:27-8. Seeing that all these things shall shortly come to pass, stand ye in the ways, says the Yeshua, and see and ask for the old path. Now pay attention to this. Our subtitle now is, and ask for the old path. P-A-T-H-S. Jeremiah 6:16. So that's what we're asking for today, is the old path. And then put the antitype to them today. Neither give heed unto the false and endless genealogy, which minister question rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of the New and Living Way, Hebrews 10:19-20. When you see that word faith in a situation like this, that's what it's referring to, Hebrews chapter 10. So do 1 Timothy 1:4. Not giving heed unto the Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Titus 1:14. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine. Verily, after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. My speech and my preaching, says the Apostle Paul, was not with the enticing words of the man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of the Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Okay, let's continue on with our part three. We're on page 75. Let this council warn the Yahweh's people away from the precarious practice of the hanging their doctrines and their faith on the gilded hoofs of the perverted interpretations and of the renderings from the tongues unknown to them the Hebrew, the Greek, and this, that, or the other, and of the interpretative translations that bolster up and serve the interests of the theological preconceptions and predilections better than does the authorized version, the version which the Yahweh, in His providence and in His foreknowledge of the finishing of His work by the English-speaking world, has given unto His people to lead them into His kingdom. Beware, therefore, of the pretensions of the pseudo-scholarship, which assume to be more dependable than that which the Yahweh Himself has chosen and wrote in the simplicity. For the heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. Okay, that's the end of track number 9. Now we're going to read the supplemental part that belongs to track number 9 that was added back into the track in 1940 that was taken out at that time. So it says the additional information on track number 9, 1940. Track number 9, behold, I make all things new. And had 112 pages and was first published in 1940. 2 years later, in 1942, it was revised, having only 78 pages, which proved that some information was left out. By the comparing of the two tracks, it was noted that the 1940 track, the number 9, included other valuable information besides the explanation of 1 Peter 3:18 and 20, as well as 1 Corinthians 15:29, which was not found in the 1942 track number 9. To preserve this valuable information for the edification of the Davidian saints, these pages, 99-110, of the 1940 tract number 9, have been inserted here, which ends with the index of pages of 110-112. Behold, I make all things new. The first angel's message took place in 1833 by William Miller. Now pay attention to that. Fear Yahweh and give glory unto Him. Well, I say that William Miller gave the first angel's message. Actually, he gave the 2300-year prophecy, and he entitled it Daniel 8:14, the cleansing of the sanctuary. He announced that in 1833. But that was put into fulfillment in 1844, that 2300-day prophecy. Fear the Yahweh. Now, our subtitle is The First Angel's Message. Fear the Yahweh and give glory unto Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. For the clearing of the appointed time of this message, we must take into the consideration of the revelation of the John, that from the fourth chapter unto the 22nd is a continuous without a break. That is the conjunction and A and D begins each chapter showing that all these revelations were given unto John at the time that the voice said unto him, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Things that were to transpire sometime after he had the vision of them. And John, having had this vision about 96 A.D. after the cross, the first angel's message therefore could not possibly have been preached before that time, for to repeat, he is not writing of the things of the past, but of the things of the future. Again, the fact that he says, "I saw another," parentheses or brackets, the first angel, having the everlasting gospel. Now, when you say everlasting gospel, you're talking about the everlasting teaching of the Father of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. That's called the everlasting gospel that has to be preached in the 12th periodic era that we're in now, before probation period. Further shows that this angel's message had not been preached before he had the vision, but that it was to be preached in the future from that time. Well, that message had already come and been preached by the Seventh-day Adventists in 1844. There is neither scripture nor history to show that the judgment began in or before the Johnstown. Still further, as the first angel's message was never preached before 1844, then when the judgment hour came, this angel's message, the message concerning the judgment, went forth. As the investigative judgment is in the two sections, the first section is the judgment for the dead. The second section is the judgment for the living. Parentheses, for the first session of the investigative judgment is devoted unto the dead. That's what it says here from 1844. Until 2002, when that investigative judgment for the dead ended with Lotus W. Johnson in Columbia, Texas, Gilead Center, and he presiding over that bringing to the end, and by his own action is how he brought it to its end, showing that he was the last one judge of the judgment of the dead, and that was Lotus W. Johnson, the angel of the seventh candlestick. And he was the last one judged to close out the first phase of the judgment of the dead. Brother Johnson was the last one, because he was the angel of the candlestick that was doing the judging of the Adventist Church. And by the time the judgment was ready to come to his end of the dead, Brother Johnson went to a close. He had apostatized, and so he had to, the judgment had to begin then with closing him out of the dead and using him to be the first one judged in the coming up of in the living of 2002. So Brother Johnson throws out the dead, and his apostatizing and being the last one judged of the dead, he ended up being the first one judged of the Scots the living. Okay, so he tied the bookends together with him, going out and causing to be brought in by his successor, Elijah David. The fact is evidence that Pharaoh, the first, the second, and the third angel's messages apply directly unto the period of the judgment of the living. They must also, although indirectly, apply unto the period of the judgment of the dead. Thus, only except as a warning of the coming event have they been preached since 1844. Hence, when the judgment of the living commences, and when the image of the beast is fully made up, then these messages are, with a loud cry, to be repeated as the present truth concerning the living instead of the dead. For the foregoing facts concerning the eternal throne, the provisional throne, and the judgment prove correct. The book which was used in the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages in their first application, for in it we read, I saw the Father rise from the throne and in a flaming chariot go into the Holy of the Holies within the veil and sit down. Then the Yahshua rose up from the throne, and the most of those who were bowed down arose with him. I did not see one ray of light pass from Yahshua unto the countless multitude after he arose, and they were left in the perfect darkness. Those who arose when Yahshua did kept their eyes fixed on him. As he left the throne and led them out a little way, then he raised his right arm, and we heard his lovely voice say, "Wait here, I am going unto my Father to receive the everlasting kingdom of the heaven of the Daniel 2:44-45, which is the kingdom of the David, set up in these last days, and the days of these 10 toed kings, here in the 12th parabolic hour." So I brought all this fast forward to right now in the interpretation. "Keep your garments spotless, and in a little while I'll return from the wedding and receive you unto myself." Then a cloudy chariot with the wheels like the flaming fire, surrounded by the angels, came unto where the Yahshua was, for he stepped into the chariot and was borne unto the holiest where the Father sat. For this was fulfilled in 1844, when he started the cleansing of the sanctuary and the antiquable day of the atonement as announced of the 2300 days. "There I beheld Yahshua as a great high priest, standing before the Father," early writings, page 55. Someone may ask, if the names of the dead who have not in the Yahshua endured unto the end of their life must be blotted out of the book of the life, then why did the Yahshua preach unto the dead? Unto the dead of what? Of the antediluvian world, of the ones at the flood. verse of the Old Testament, 1 Peter 3:18-20. This brings in our special hour contact. This is the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio worker. We're going to close now with a song.